that this morning we are indeed with the Father in His house.
Amen.
And what a sweet and enjoyable and restful place this is, together with all His children and our dear Father. Very, very sweet. Amen. Well, this morning we have come to the last message of this conference. The main subject is God's recovery by life, seen in the book of Ezekiel. And this morning we have come to next to the last chapter of this book, and that would be chapter 47. This actually is, you may say, the last vision in the book of Ezekiel that the prophet saw. It started with the vision of God on the throne, with His administration in all His glory in this universe. And of course, along with this is His divine move on the earth. Then we saw another vision, and that would be the vision of the bones, right? Last night in the wilderness or in a valley. And God would come to command or instruct His prophet to prophesy. And according to that prophecy, all these bones, after some shaking and some rattling, somewhat like an earthquake, were brought together. This earthquake is a very good earthquake. Don't be afraid of earthquakes. Some are bad, like the big one that is going to hit California. But this is a good one. It shakes the bones together. You know, the Lord does call some mini earthquakes in our lives, didn't He? Am I right? We were sort of doing quite well, and then one day some earthquake happened. It surely happened to me. In my case, it was an earthquake as a result of my moving from the Far East to this country back in 1967. For a young man in his teens, that was quite a move. And that move caused a great disturbance in my life.
Amen.
An earthquake. And, of course, at the time when it happened, I didn't like it. And I thought that jolt was bad, but there's always, after an earthquake, some aftershocks, some more trembles, am I right? And so it was not just my move over here, but subsequently, in a rather short period of time, I would say, over about a year or so. Through all that aftershock, all of God's working in me, stirring in me, just shaking me off from my my comfort, out of my comfort zone, shaking me out of my past, my upbringing, my tradition. Everything in my life was like upside down and all just shaken up. But the result of that shaking was I quickly ended in the church life.
Amen.
It was quite something. And even after I came to touch the church life in His recovery, those shakings continue. So at the end of the day, what were those shaking doing? They were just shaking this dry bone, to come together with other dry bones to be ready for the next prophecy. The next prophecy is, come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on the slain that they may live. It was in that situation after I came to the church life to be on the ground of oneness, meeting with all the other bones, right? All the other ones who also have been shaken into this one place. I tell you, you really saw the sinew, the flesh, the skin, all kind of put upon this skeleton, making it a body again. And then the breath comes to breathe the life into us, the divine life into us, which is the Spirit. And that breathing of that life into us causes us to rise up and even to become a mighty army, a great army. And not only so, but out of that kind of coming together, that kind of joining together, bone to his bone, that kind of building by life, we became a sanctuary, a house of God. That is our church life today. Now, I like to say, brothers and sisters, that if you were to use two words to describe God's economy, and I would this morning use these two words. Number one, life. And number two, building. Life and building are the two main thoughts through the entire Bible. It is consistent from Genesis to Revelation. And let me say a few words about that. In Genesis 1, after God made man, in his image and according to his likeness, he immediately put this man in the middle of a garden of his pleasure, the Garden of Eden, a wonderful place. And there, of course, you have the tree of life. You see, life is there. Am I right? That tree of life is just the symbol. It's just God himself, the triune God himself, become food supply to man. And so man was supposed to eat that tree to take God in and thereby receiving the divine life. And I will tell you, to receive the divine life is not a small thing. This implies a kind of mingling between two lives, the life of man and the life of God. Today, you cannot see this, how even in this physical universe of two lives coming together to be blended, to be mingled, to be joined together, it just doesn't happen. Am I right? You know, even I got married, right? Or you got married, and we say these two will be joined as one, bone with his bone. Am I right? Well, actually, there's not much joining. It's still two persons. After many, many years, maybe holding hands, maybe hugging a little bit, it's still two persons. That is a picture, of course, even of Christ and the church. But in the divine and mystical realm, that joining is not just a physical joining, not just an outward joining. That joining is the joining in an organic way. It is a joining of two lives, becoming one life. And may I say, even two living, becoming one living. So today, God and us are one life, and even one living. What a divine thought. And how does this happen? This happened by His Spirit joining with our spirits. Two spirits mingle into one. So today, we've got to pay our utmost attention if we see the matter of life, if we take the way of life to the two spirits. The divine spirit mingled with the human spirit. And that's where the two lives are joined. And that's the source of our Christian living today. To live by this mingled spirit. To drink of this spirit. To breathe this spirit. To enjoy this spirit. This mingled spirit. And to live by this spirit. And this is the way that God had planned. But in that Garden of Eden, there was not just the eating of this tree of life. In the Garden of Eden, you will see that there was a river with four heads flowing out, all with a name. And it says, in that river, or in that flow, are precious stones. There would be what? I'm trying to remember what the names of those stones are. I think one is called Delium. Am I right? Let's take a very quick look here. Let me see in chapter 2. Okay, here we go. And there is gold in this river. And there's Delium in this river. And then eventually there's onyx stone in this river. Well, what is the point here? The point here is that there is not only a tree of life for food, there's also a certain flow, a river. Now, I know today when we think about river, we think probably about some creek trickling, right? No. This river could be as big as the Mississippi, huh? You couldn't even see the shores on the other side. This is a huge river. Amen. With four branches. And in this river are these materials, these precious stones. Well, what are the precious stones for? Well, if you read the whole Bible, even there's a type in the Old Testament with the high priest who had a breastplate. And on this breastplate are 12 kinds of precious stones. You say, well, that is just a breastplate. No, let me tell you, that breastplate indicates something. It indicates the divine building. That's the building. Of course, those 12 stones refer to the 12 tribes of Israel, all built together into one piece, the breastplate upon the high priest. That was just a small type of the building. And of course, if you go to the New Testament, you'll find that this thought of the precious material is really there. For example, the most maybe obvious one would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You remember that? Where it says what? Where it says that that Paul was the master builder, laid a foundation, and others built upon it. And it says this, but if anyone builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Again, three kinds of precious material. And we know, actually, by studying the word, that these three materials actually refer to the divine Trinity. Gold referring to the Father. The Father's nature. The silver referred to the sun's redemption. And then you have the precious stones referring to the work of the transforming spirit. It is by this triune God being worked into us, that would cause us to be built together. In the end, when this triune God is wrought into us, or worked into us, there would be a kind of a gradual work of transformation taking place in us to change us from clay, from earth. You know, Adam, the word Adam, the first man, refers to the red earth. You know, clay is red. This man is made of clay, so he is just dirt. Just dirt, that's what we were. But through the work of the triune God and through the transforming work of the Spirit, and over a period of time, with some heat, with some pressure, am I right? And most of all, with some flow.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. We, the dirt, the clay, becomes stones.
Amen.
Precious stones, not for display, not for a museum, but for what? But for building up.
Amen.
Stones for God's building. And Peter it says, we come to him as the living stone. And we would all become, we are all the stones, likewise, for the building of God's house. And this house today is simply his church. His church. The church is not a place of just some dirt piled up together, some human beings coming together to do things in a religious way to worship God. No, the church is a place where there's a group of God men, of some people who are mingled with the triune God in life, and they're all in the process of being transformed from earth to become precious stones. And they will be what? Built together. Joined together. Not just assembled together, but framed and knit together. And this would become what? This would become a building. A divine human building. And this building is what God wants. And this building is built by the way of life and in life. You know, here we like to use the illustration, this very, very wonderful illustration of those, stones that come out of the flow? Petrified wood, okay. Petrified wood. They, what, again in Arizona, right? Or something like that. Petrified wood, you know what they are? Well, these are organic materials, you know, vegetation, trees, huge trees that, who knows, some million years ago fell into this place, and there would be a river or water flowing through them, right? For I don't know how many thousands or millions of years. I have no idea. I'm not an expert here. But the point here is this water carry with it certain minerals in the water. And after a long time of soaking, a long time of flowing, these minerals are deposited or worked into these trees, these organic materials, so much so that at the end, you will find those trees again looking exactly like the tree, except they are no longer wood anymore. They have now all become crystallized to become petrified wood. They're actually mineral now, but they still look like a tree. And so they take these things and they sell them, right? I have a couple of them in my home. Very beautiful. They cut it this way. It has still looks like all the, these circles, huh? Rings of a tree, but the whole thing is mineral. We were wood. Am I right?
Amen.
We were just wood. And what wood? Well, of course, in this country, wood, you use wood for building, but that's not scriptural. God doesn't want a wood building because it doesn't last. God wants a solid building built up of stones. And I tell you, those stones came into being by the flow of life. By the constant flow of life. I tell you, the more the flow, the more you are transformed. The more the flow, the more we become what? We become stones. The more the flow, we become those quality materials, even those precious materials. Actually, that flow carries the triune God to what? To be deposited into us. Amen, amen, Steve?
Amen, brother.
So today, are you all precious stones? Not quite. I think we're still half wood. Well, I don't know 10% or what percent, but I will tell you one thing. Don't be disappointed. Be patient a little bit and just stay in that flow.
Amen.
Just remain in that river.
Amen.
Just let it flow every day, every minute, every moment. Let it flow. That's to exercise our spirit. Am I right? That's to call on His name. That is to pray, read His word. That is to walk ceaselessly according to the Spirit by praying without ceasing. Not only so, but along with this, you know, I'm now not talking about petrified wood. I'm talking about diamonds. I'm talking about this precious material that lies deep under the earth. They are also, once upon a time, some kind of organic material. But through a long time of what? Well, this is not that pleasant, but of number one, heat. And number two, pressure, and whatever else I do not know, something happened, right? Something happened in them to turn them into precious stones. So let me say this. This is not pleasant, but this is a necessary process in the church life. And that is this. While we're all in this flow, enjoying the water, the river of water of life, while we're drinking in these minerals, the triune minerals, at the same time, God would cause all things to work together in your environment. And let me tell you, custom built. You know, sometimes I say, I wish I have Steve's problem. That'll be so much better than mine. Well, sorry, God have measured to me my particular situation. And that is exactly what I need so that I would be under that kind of divine pressure. I would be under that kind of divine heat. And that is the work of the cross. Even if you want to eat something nice, you need to cook it and heat it. Am I right? In high heat. Well, dear saints, when there's the heat, when there's the pressure in your life, don't complain.
Amen.
Don't be dismayed. You have to say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Keep me in the flow.
Amen.
And I will not here to kick, to scream, to be unhappy with this heat, with this pressure that has come upon me. Lord, do your work.
Amen.
Lord, I accept your hand. Lord, I submit myself to your sovereign arrangement of all things in my life to transform me. This includes, your spouse. No? You see, none of us want to say it, but... You get married because you fell in love and you think you marry an angel or marry a prince, whatever it is. Well, it may be an angel, it may be a prince, but this prince just become an irritant to the princess. Am I right? And this angel... somewhat become a devil to you. You wake up the next day after the honeymoon. What happened? Well, what happened? God is sovereign.
Amen.
You can choose all you want, and he'll let you choose it, but he is still sovereign. You cannot win this one. But God is not after punishing you. And I'm not even just talking about marriage. Of course, God uses marriage, husband and wives, very much to transform us. And he would use your children even, your difficult children. They're not just here to give you a bad life. They are quite sovereignly used by God to transform you. We don't like this, but this is a necessary process of renewing, am I right? And so many things. In some saints, the case of sickness. And other things. Well, when death works in us, life also works. This is the process of transformation we need to become those precious stones, good for God's building. Well, this morning, we have come to chapter 47 of Ezekiel. Life and building is found in this vision. So now I still would like all of us to read chapter 47, verse 1 through verse 12. Now, before this, there's a whole section we have actually leapt or jumped from chapter 37 all the way to 47. And in between, you have these chapters on what? On a vision of God's recovered temple. An enlarged recovered temple. And we skip over that. But you have to realize, in God's recovery of life, the goal is to gain that house, to gain that building. So here in this vision already include that built house. That built house. Let's read it now, and I will still ask the brothers to read verse 1 and sisters 2, and we'll go through it this way. Okay, brothers. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the house, and there was water flowing out from under the threshold of the house to the east, for the house faced east, and the water flowed down below the south side of the house, on the south of the altar. Sisters.
Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around.
All When the man went out to the east with his line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water that was to the ankles. Then he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. And when I returned, there were very many trees on the bank of the river, on one side and on the other.
And then this water flows up toward the eastern region and goes down into the
Araba.
And goes to the sea. Then it flows into the sea. The water of the sea is healed.
Amen. And every living creature swarms in every place where the river goes shall live. And there will be very many fish when this water comes there, and the water of the sea shall be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes. Now, let's come to the outline. You have it, all right? Let's read Romans 1 together, all of us. The Bible reveals the flowing triune God, the Father as the fountain of life, the Son as the spring of life, and the Spirit as the river of life, flow within us and out of us to issue in God and us being united, mingled and incorporated together to become God's ultimate building, the New Jerusalem. So here is the vision. There's a house here, a built house here. And of course, this is the house of God, the temple. And right away, the vision says that at the entrance of this house, there was water flowing from under the threshold of the house to the east. Well, please don't go call a plumber. It's not a leaked pipe here. This is another kind of water, a water that flows from God's house. You know, this is very consistent with verses in Psalms about there is a river. Where the house of God is, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Where there is a building, where there is the building of God, there is certainly the flow of God. On the one hand, it is the flow of the triune God. You know, what is the flow here? You will see here. Well, we'll get into that. Where the flow is, materials are produced for God's building. Or the building comes out of the flow, on the one hand. But on the other hand, as we see in this vision, the flow comes out of the building. Do you see this? the flow produces the building, and then the flow will come out of this building. So the flow of life and the building of God cannot be separated. Cannot be separated. The more the flow, the more the building. You're in a local church, in a church somewhere, to be built together. I tell you, the way is for the deepening of that flow. The more the flow of this life in the saints, in the meetings, in the church life, the more there would be the work of transformation and the more there would be the building up of the saints together. And when there is a measure of building there, you'll find a flow coming out of it. And this flow that comes out of the building will accomplish a lot of things. So now let us come to Romans 1 that we just read. What is the flow of life? What is this flow in the Bible? This flow is nothing less than the flowing triune God. Actually, he flows from eternity to eternity. I would say this morning, you would say, what is God? I will tell you, God is a flow. God is not a static object. God is not just something sitting over there in the heavens. God is a flow. A mighty flowing out is God. He flows throughout the ages. God is a flow. Father, Son, and Spirit, that is not just a kind of theology for us to study. The Father, Son, and Spirit is a flow. The Father as the source, the Son as the course, and the Spirit as the river, the flowing out. So you have the triune God flowing from eternity to eternity. And somewhere along the line, we got swept into that flow. Or we fell into this flow. Or this flow came to us and flooded us and taking us over. And we become joined to this flow. And today, we are flowing with the triune God. God is still flowing today. He will flow us all into the new Jerusalem. And even there, he will still be the flowing God to maintain that city. All right, so here specifically we see that the Father is the fountain of life. The Father is the fountain. Now the place to see this is in John chapter 4, verse 14. And here, in this marvelous gospel that the Lord was preaching to this Samaritan woman of all people, a great revelation is there in this simple verse. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever. Now this, of course, tells us this flow of the triune God is principally to quench our thirst, to quench the thirst of his people. That's what water is all about. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain. You see the word fountain here? A fountain of water. Then you have the springing up the spring of life into eternal life. Well, the word flow is not here. The word river is not here. But I think the thought of that is very, very present here. Right? How do you spring up into eternal life because there is a kind of a flowing. So you go to some source, and I went to New Zealand many years ago, and they brought me to a source. And that source is a very, very deep spring that goes from the underground, you know, from the underground. I still remember that water is so cold. I tell you, deep under is the fountain, is a fountain. And then when this fountain comes up onto the ground, it springs out. It springs up out of the ground. And in what? Well, what is that place in the national park? It becomes a kind of geyser, am I right? There's so much pressure there that it becomes a huge, humongous springing up. And then after the spring comes out, there is a river. There's a river that flows. Saints, the Father is the fountain. The Son is the spring. And the Spirit is the flow. So this is the triune flow. This is the fountain, spring, and river flow. This is our triune God. And this fountain was put into us when we first drank of that living water. When we drank that water, we didn't just drink some water, we drank a fountain. Little did we know. So from that day on, that source of the water was put into us, even into our spirit. And from that day on, from this fountain, there would be the welling up, the springing up of life, and even there would be the flowing of this life. And here it says, that flowing from within to without, that flowing within us of the triune God, issue in something. The issue is this, that God and us are united, mingled, and incorporated together to become God's building. God's building. Dear saints, I must emphasize the importance of this flow. In fact, that is the burden this morning, to pay our utmost attention to this divine flow, to live in it, to experience it, to remain there. Don't get out of this flow. Stay in it. This is the Christian life. The Christian life is a life in a flow. And the more we're in this flow, the more this flow would flow in us and out of us. That's where the building will occur. God would be building himself into us, and we would be built into him by a kind of mingling with him together. And while we are mingled with this triune God, in this very triune God, we are also blended and mingled together with each other. And then through this kind of mingling, through this kind of uniting, the building takes place. The real building is actually the mingling. But this will not take place anywhere else but in this flow. In this flow. And of course, today, this building is none other than the church. The church of God. The house of God. And of course, in eternity, this building that includes all of God's people would be the new Jerusalem. And so, dear saints, this is our church life today. I would like to say Ezekiel 47 is a picture of our church life today. All the things that you see in that vision should be the reality of our church life. This constant flowing and this constant building up. Now, Romans 2, please read. The Bible describes the experience of the living water, both before and after the building. I said that already. Before the building, there was the flow of the living water, which produces that building. But after the building takes place, there's still the water coming out of that building to accomplish certain things. All right, A, I will read. Before the building of the house of God, the Bible speaks of the bitter waters made sweet, the springs of water, the water of the cleft rock, the water from the well, and the water from the hallow place. Now you have these references there, all from the Old Testament, where the Bible talks about water. This is a huge theme in the Word. You have the Israelites who just had left Egypt, beginning their journey in the wilderness. They have nothing to drink, or rather they found some water that is bitter, that is undrinkable. And so they cast this tree, which is a picture of the cross of the Lord, into this river, and instantly the waters became sweet for the Israelites to drink. You have the water here. Then you have the water out of the cleft rock. You know, Moses struck the rock and water came out. Water came out in the way of a river. Of course, again, you have the cross here, right? The striking is the work of the cross. And the cleft rock is just the Lord Jesus' pierced side, out of which flows what? Blood and water. And then you have the water from the well. The people duck, and then there is water that flow out from the well. And then finally, you have water in the case of Samson, who was exceedingly thirsty after the battle, that there would be water that came out of this hollow place to quench his thirst. Well, these are all the drinking of the water before the building of the house of God. They quench our thirst, they satisfy our need. B, after the building of the house of God, the Bible speaks of the river of God's pleasures. The river whose streams gladden the city of God. A fountain coming forth from the house of the Lord. Living waters going out from Jerusalem. And the living water flowing out of the house of God. So if you read these verses, and I would hope that you would do so, from Psalms 36, from Psalms 46, from Joel 3, from Zechariah 14, you will see this flow that comes out of the house of God. This flow that is in God's building. This flow that accompanies God's house. You will see that here. And of course, eventually, we have this picture in Ezekiel 47 about the living water flowing out of the house of God. See, before the building of the house of God, the living water quenches our thirst. After the building of the house of God, listen, the living water not only quenches our thirst, but also waters the dry land, produces life, and heals death. Amen. So do you see this? The water before the building is mainly for our need. to quench our thirst, to satisfy us, to maintain us. But the water that comes out of the house after the building is built is a water that what? That would make all the dry land wet to produce life, to cause healing from death. And this is what the church life should result in. The church life, on the one hand, is a drinking life. On the other hand, it is a what? It is a watering life. On the one hand, it quenches our thirst daily. On the other hand, this water flows out of us. It's living water flowing out of us to water the dry land among us. It produces life and it heals death. This, I would say, speaks of the gospel, speaks of the flowing out of God to bear fruit, to bring forth fish, even to bring forth lambs and cattle. And wherever this flow will go, everything lives. And even there would be the healing. You know, it says the water would flow into the sea in the east. Well, you know, here is Jerusalem, right? And if the water flows to the east, it doesn't make sense. You would think it would flow west to the Mediterranean. It doesn't. It actually, this sea refers to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. Well, according to the name, it's dead. Salty. Am I right? And this water will flow into that sea to what? To enliven it, to heal it from its death. This is our church life today. I really believe the Lord is doing something in the Mid-Atlantic. You know, this weekend, you know what encourages me the most? There are many things that encourage me, but one thing that encouraged me the most, You may not think about it, or you may think it's a small thing. But what encouraged me this weekend is how early the saints come to the meetings. Now, don't feel bad, those of you who come late. I'm not here to condemn you, but I would like to say this encouraged me to the uttermost. The coming to the early to the meetings is a sign of something. A sign of love, a sign of pursuit, a sign of exercise, a sign of desire. Am I right? And even this just encourages me that the Lord is doing something. You know, I came here 2 years ago, and I came here last year, you know, for this conference. And within me, I sense the difference. I really sense the difference. I sense the Lord is moving here. Amen. Is doing something here. Maybe not in a, you know, miraculous, drastic way, but in the way of life. Amen. And this time talking to the brothers and fellowship with the saints, I would like to predict there is a flow flowing out of this house. Amen. And this flow is going to quench the thirst and water the dry land. Amen. Of Virginia. Amen. Of Maryland. Amen. Of Pennsylvania. Amen. Of the District of Columbia. It's all dry, but thank God there is a house now. Amen. Where the river is flowing out of it. Amen. To water these places. To heal so many who are in death and to produce a lot of life. A lot of life. I believe it. Amen. And I'm going to prophesy it. Amen. D, in our experience before the building of the house of God, the living water flows instantly and occasionally. But after the building of the house of God, the living water flows constantly and eternally. My, when the river flows out of the built house of God, it is no longer just intermittent. It is no longer just occasional. It is something that is constant and eternal. I like to give you a testimony that after I came to the church life until now, how many years? It is almost 50 years, 47 years. And I must testify to you, in these 47 years, there were situations, there were ups, there were downs. You know, there were lean years, there were fat years. There was all kinds of situations, definitely. There were easy times, there were some not so easy times. Really. But I'd like to give you this testimony. This testimony. Through thick or through thin, in these 47 years, that flow never stopped.
Amen.
At least in my own experience, some inner flow, something would not stop. Even in the darkest hour, there's still something flowing. And I would like to tell you, the credit is not mine. The credit is not anybody. I tell you, this demonstrates there is a building here. And there is a constant flow here. This is a proof we are in the Lord's recovery of life. Just this alone, just these 47 years for me, convinces me again and again that I am in the Lord's recovery. The flow convinces me. The flow is the proof that you're in the right place. Don't look at the outside. Things will change, the environment would alter. Don't go by that. Go by the flow.
Amen.
Check if the flow is there. All right, let's go on. E. On the one hand, the flow of life produces precious materials for God's building. On the other hand, the flow of life depends on God's building. Again, we have been saying this, right? One, there can be no flow apart from the genuine building. Two, wherever a group of believers are built up in oneness as described by Ezekiel, there will be the flowing of the river, the one divine stream of the Lord's move out of the building. So my admonition to all of you, dear saints, is no matter what, don't drop out of the church life. No matter what, do not leave the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
There were some who counter, who opposes. And there's some of them, I tell you, if you really ask them, they may say, I'm in the right, you're wrong. But I tell you, in God's economy, it is not right or wrong, it is life or death.
Amen.
They may be right, but you know what? The flow is gone. There was one servant of the Lord who, for a brief period of time, spoke among us. This is back in Taiwan, a very top servant of the Lord. And initially, it was good for the first time, his first visit. Then there was a second visit 2 years later. And in that visit, he began to say things critical of what? Of our practice, especially our practice of the ground of oneness of the local churches. And unfortunately, he didn't just talk about it, he touched it in quite a negative way. And I will tell you, it was that stirred up a kind of rebellion in the 1950s in the churches in Taiwan. Now, here's the story. that later on, our brother Lee met with this brother again. And this brother told brother Lee this. They were together in Scotland, visiting this brother's vacation home or summer home or something like this, because that's where he's from. He told Brother Lee, he said, Brother Lee, brother, the day when I left Taiwan, you know, after all these things happened, he said, within me, the flow stopped. And he said, even this morning, I was still crying to the Lord to restore that flow. Now, here is, you may say, a genuine spiritual person, no matter what he did. A person who knows that the flow is preeminent, that the flow is everything. No flow, no ministry. No flow, no work. No flow, no church. And no flow, there would be what? No move of God. God's move throughout the ages is a stream. We call it the divine stream. It flows in the New Testament from Jerusalem all the way to Antioch, then to Europe, then so many years later from Europe to other places, including China. And this flow flows back to the West, to the Americas, to America. Now, this flow is not physical. This flow is spiritual. This flow is real. If you are a Christian, you want God's best. You want to do the will of God. I would tell you, this is what you should do. You should find the flow. You must locate the flow. And you must immerse yourself into that flow. This flow doesn't argue with you. You can criticize it. You can, whatever you do, the flow just keeps on flowing. Amen. Either you're in it or you're out of it. Amen. You know, it is a very serious thing. And I would even say somewhat touching God's government to oppose this flow. And to drop out of this flow, to me, is the greatest curse. You know, even in our daily life, we can lose this flow temporarily. Am I right? By your turning aside from the Lord to idols, from your turning to sin, am I right? For your engaging in the world, or even for your saying something not according to the Spirit, maybe even a look from your eye, a gesture, a body language in your body that is not of the Spirit, I tell you, at least temporarily, at least instantly, you just felt the flow is gone. And you know, brothers and sisters, we who have the experience, how painful it is. I mean, when you lose the flow, it's almost like I'd rather be dead. That flow is precious. That flow is God. The presence of God. The moving of God. The dispensing of God from our spirit. And that flow must not cease. So whenever you feel there is a certain cutting off of that flow, brothers and sisters, turn back to God. Amen. Confess your sins. Return, O Israel. Turn back to the fountain of living waters. Turn away from the idols, from the broken cisterns that you hewn, which can never quench your thirst, which can never be a flow in you. Turn back to the flowing triune God. Nothing is worth missing this flow in our daily lives. It is serious. It is quite a serious thing to fight against this flow or to neglect this flow. Okay, let's go on. Three, in order to participate in God's ultimate move, we need to experience the flowing of the living water out of the house of God. So now we're talking about God's move. In order to participate in it, the way is to experience the flow of this living water out of the house. Okay? So when we now come to interpret, and I have to do this rather quickly, all the aspects of this flow as seen in chapter 47. All right. A, God's ultimate move is his move in man to deify man by saturating man with all that he is in his life, nature, element, and essence for the glory, the expression of God. A lot here to unpack. I would not have the time to do this. Deification, to make man God in life and nature, is by this flow. The more the Lord is flowing in you, the more you are being deified. The more you are conformed to the image of Christ, the more you are becoming the same as he is. It's all about this flow. B, the water flows out from under the threshold, interestingly. So he was brought out of the north gate and then he made his way around, led to this entrance which faces the east of this, you know, of this temple. And there he observed, the prophet observed, water flowing out from under a threshold. The threshold is like the threshold of a house. You know, the doorway, the gateway, there's water coming out. Okay, one, in order for the Lord water to flow, there must be a threshold and opening. Let's say if there's no door, there's no gate, the water cannot flow. If we draw closer to the Lord and have more contact with him, there will be an opening which will allow the living water to flow out from the church. Now, what is hymn 846? I don't even have it. Do you all know what that hymn is? Something about release my spirit. I don't know. Give me just one line of that hymn. Huh? Oh, yes. Sorry. Oh, may my spirit flow. Oh, may it flow. Dear brothers and sisters, for this flow to come out of us, to come out of the church, there's got to be an opening. There's got to be an opening. And we have to open, number one, our spirit. And number two, we have to open our heart. And I would say, number three, we have to open our mouth. And we need to exercise our spirit and let this mingled spirit flow. Let it flow. Saints, come to the meetings and open your mouth and let it flow. My, the best meeting is when every saint who are in the meeting open their mouth, open their heart, and open the spirit. I tell you, oftentimes there is not just a flow, but a mighty flow, a strong flow in that meeting. And today, the principle of the New Testament building, that is the building of the body of Christ, is what? Is all saints should function. All saints. This is something that the Lord still is recovering today. In general, traditional Christianity, it is a few, the clergy, the priests, the pastors, or doing most of the work, where the congregation is just sitting there passively, like they're useless. That is wrong. In the body of Christ, everyone is a living member.
Amen.
And everyone has a gift of grace from God. Everyone has a fountain in them.
Amen.
Everyone has a responsibility to allow this fountain, this water, to flow out of them.
Amen.
Some will flow out in the way of revelation. Some will flow out in the way of a psalm. Am I right? Some will flow out in the way of a teaching. In many, many ways, each one has. And when you flow, I flow, everybody flow, I tell you, there, this is a sign God's building is there.
Amen.
And I will tell you, the unbelievers come into the midst of such a building will fall down and say, God is among you.
Amen.
I've seen a flow.
Amen.
You know, in the early years in the church life, it's really like that. And I was one of the ones. I just touched one meeting of the church and I was caught. And it's not unusual. People come to one meeting and went home and packed their stuff and just drive across the country to jump into the church life. It was not uncommon. You know why? Because those meetings are so prevailing. And all functioning, the flow was just a flood, just a flood. And you cannot deny it. I like to prophesy that those days are returning again.
Amen.
In the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Where people are not dragged into the church life, but flooded into the church life. Flowed into the church life. All right, let's go on. The flow is toward the east. What's the east? The river of God flows in the direction of God's glory. The east is towards the sun, and that is a picture of God's glory. If everyone in the church seeks and cares for God's glory, the living water will flow out from the church. Just like the Lord, he said, I do not seek my own glory, but the glory of the Father. All of us, brothers and sisters, should seek God's glory. And glory is God's expression. We all have to seek the expression of God to give the ground for God to be expressed. If we do this, there, the living water will flow. It flows in that direction. It flows in that direction. Right? Where there is God's glory, I tell you, the river flows in that direction. I hope when people come to our meetings, they would not see anybody but God's glory.
Amen.
They saw no man but Jesus only.
Amen.
No one gets the glory but the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, D. The water flows out from the right side of the house. Very interesting. Right side, not left. Right side. What does this mean? In the Bible, the right side is the highest position, the first place. You know, the Lord ascended and sat on the what? The right side. Hand of God. That means he occupies the highest position in this universe as a man. He has the first place. So the flow of life must have the preeminence within us, becoming the controlling factor in our living and work. Dear saints, in our daily life, this flow must be on the right side. That means this flow must have preeminence in our daily life. Okay, let's say you're looking to the Lord. Where should I live? What job should I take? Where should I migrate to? These decisions in our lives. Saints, I like to advise you, don't just look at this, check that out. Google, you know what I mean? And then come to a decision. Well, you may have to do some of that. I'm not saying that's wrong. But let me tell you, keep the flow at the right side. Check with the flow. Let the flow make the ultimate decision in your life. And when you do this, you will not regret. We have made many decisions that later on we regret because we make them without the flow, without consulting the flow. What does the flow say? Where is the flow going? You better follow the flow. That means to follow the Lord. It should control us. The flow must control all of our living and work. Okay, E, the flowing by the side of the altar, showing that we need the dealing of the cross and a full consecration to enjoy the flow of life. Very meaningful. It flows by the altar. There's an altar in the temple there. The altar is the place of sacrifice. It is a type, a full type of the cross of Christ. And so to flow through the altar means what? It means two things. Number one, it means the dealing of the cross. And number two, it means a full consecration. Who are the ones in the church life? Who are those saints that have the flow with them? That they're honored by the flow. The flow presents itself with these ones all the time. Who are they? These are the ones who live on the altar. These are the ones who are under the constant dealing of the cross. These are the ones who are fully consecrated to the Lord. You know, this flow is not cheap. This is not a cheap flow. In a very good sense, to have this flow, we have to pay the utmost price. And it's worth it. Don't be scared. We have to pay everything. Amen. To get this flow. You have to be willing to drop everything, to forsake everything. In some cases, ones we love, things we love. In some cases, the Lord would want to touch your career. The Lord would want to touch whatever you may hold dear. And a struggle ensued. Am I right? A struggle ensued. I remember that. Again, I like to point back to some old days. And it's not just the old days. It is constant even up to today. I was given a little token by my mother, by my dear mother, when I came to this country. And to me, it is not just some physical object. To me, that's her. That's her. And so I came into the church life, and at that time, there was a prevailing flow of what? Of consecration, of clearance of the past, of the dealing with the world, to be absolute for the Lord and His recovery. So in those days, we have something that we don't do anymore. We call them burnings. The saints would all be touched by the Lord. No one organized this. I can assure you because I was there. Would go to the Lord, and as the Lord touched them, they would go through their possessions. And there would be different things. There'd be PhD diplomas, you know what I mean? There would be matters and objects that they hold dear or represent. And they would, of course, you know, what is dear to them. And there would be all kinds of things from the past. Something of the world. And then we would come together to destroy and burn these things. It happened with the Ephesians, do you know? You know, in Acts, the Ephesians brought all their books of sorcery, all their evil things together and burned them. And actually, it talks about how much they are worth. They're not cheap. And some, well, anyway, in those days, I went to the Lord, just like everybody else, and pray. Well, I was a sophomore in college. Really, I don't have much, okay? Everything that I have fits into a car. I didn't make money. I didn't have anything. But one day, the Lord touched me about that token. That token. And the finger was on that. And I know it. You know, when the Lord comes, you cannot deny. You want to say, oh, that's my mind playing tricks on me, you know? Or something like that. Well, I tell you, when that feeling persists, you would know eventually it is the Lord. And what he was touching is not that, that's just a physical object. It means, doesn't mean much. It's not that object. That object signifies my natural ties to my mother. And I struggled for a whole week, with tears, because it was impossible for me to sever that relationship. It's not right or wrong, okay? It was a natural relationship. The Lord say, I want everything. I want all of your love. You do have verses in the Word by the Lord to hate your family, don't you? That's a Bible. Of course, that doesn't mean a kind of a wrong kind of hatred. That is a divine emotion, divine feeling. That's what it means. And so, eventually, one day, I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it anymore. And I gave up and gave in. And I put these things in a bag and went to the next burning down in San Pedro. This is by LA, and along with others, I threw this thing into the fire. And the Lord in those days sustained me with a song, with a hymn that is in Chinese, only in Chinese in those days. And because of that experience, that song describe my experience so much, and it sustained me so much that I translated into English. And that song is in the supplement. Which one? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, dearest Lord. No, not that one. Sorry, that's another one. Sorry. What was that one? This one. This is this one. Dear Lord Jesus, precious Jesus. What is the second line? Huh? Thou hast won from each love from me. Could you please turn to it? What number? 1158. All right. Could you all read the first verse? Go. Okay, two.
Dear Lord Jesus, precious Jesus, gladly will I hear thy call.
Third one.
Dear Lord Jesus, precious Jesus, how can I still suffer thee at thy feet, past all my hardness, and return with songs and singing? Is my love to be thy offspring? Is my joy to be obeyed?
There was a one line in there about though in tears. Huh? Oh, okay, please read four. Please read four. Brothers and sisters, we learn to know this flow from when we were young. By experiences like this. Nothing is worth missing this flow. If the Lord touch you about something to give up, give it up. If the Lord touch you to have a change, have a change. This is not about right, not about wrong. This is about keeping that flow. This means everything to us in our Christian life. Okay, I must go on and finish time. F, for the increase of the flow of life. Now we're not just talking about the flow. We're saying that this flow must increase in the church life, in us. We need to be measured by the Lord as the man of bronze. So there was a man there in the vision, and he would be measuring things. All right? To measure is to examine, test, judge, and possess. The Lord is always measuring. But that measuring is to what? Eventually to test us, to judge us, and ultimately to possess us. Amen. What was never measured by the Lord is not the Lord's. The Lord only takes what he has measured. Something that he has approved. He has taken possession of. Dear brothers and sisters, let the Lord measure you. Give yourself to this man of bronze. Two, the four measurings of 1,000 cubits, four times, which is a complete unit, indicate that as creatures we need to be thoroughly measured by the Lord so that he may take over and thoroughly possess our entire being. Four times, four measurings. Each time a complete one. Our life in the Lord's hand is full of constant measurings, testing, judging, and possessing. Let the Lord measure you. Let the Lord measure you so that he can take over you. Now, the more he measures, the more he possesses, the more this water increases. Right in the beginning, at the ankle, some more measuring, then it comes to what? The knee, am I right? Then some more measuring, it comes to what? The loins, and then some more measuring, it becomes a river to swim in. We should not be in the church life always having the same level of flow. We all should experience an increased flow. This flow should increase in all of us. But this increase comes only from his measuring. The more we allow the Lord to examine, test, and judge us, to possess us, the deeper the flow becomes. The depth of the flow depends on how much we have been measured by the Lord. Oh, may this flow increase in us. Increase in us. You know, in the beginning, the lesser the flow, the more freedom you have. Right? If on your ankles, you know, you can still run on it. But when the water gets your knees, it's hard to run. When it gets your loins, you can hardly move. And eventually, even that is not good enough because your feet is still on the ground. It has to what? Come up. Water level come up to such a level that will sweep you off the ground so that you are not moving yourself anymore. The flow moves you. Amen. The flow carries you to places that you know not of. You have lost your control of your fate. You have lost the control of your own destiny. Isn't this the ultimate freedom? That we are lost in Him. He is carrying us. He is responsible for us. He will take us to places that He wants us to go. We are swimming in this river. We all need to aspire to such an experience. So the more we are measured by the Lord, the more we're restricted and limited by the flowing of the grace of life, until eventually we are lost in and carried along by the flowing triune God as a river in which to swim. How about swimming in God?
Amen.
This is not your local swimming pool. This is God as a river to swim in. In one sense, we lose all our freedom, but in another sense, we are really free.
Amen.
Consider yourself in a rushing river. Like, this Niagara Falls, this river, right? Once you're in it, that's it. That's it. You are caught in the current.
Amen.
You'll be carried to places you don't want to. The Lord's river is not always so calm like this. I tell you, sometimes the Lord's river is like a current. And when you're in that current, you move fast. The Lord's move. Okay, we better close. The river causes everything to live. Everything. Where the river flows, everything shall live and be full of life. The flow of river produces tree, fish, and cattle. My, the fish, the tree, the cow, all these are living things. This is where the gospel will go out. This is where the sinners will be regenerated. This is where even the dead ones will be made alive. Even the backslidden ones will come to life again. All the people around us, all the situation around us will be full of life. We have now 20-some brothers and sisters working in Google out in Silicon Valley. I charge them all to be this river. Wherever it goes, even in Google, things will be enlivened. In our neighborhoods, in our community, amongst our friends and relatives, the gospel has to go out. But this is a flowing gospel. This is the gospel of a river. This is the gospel of the water of life. Not only so, the water, river waters the desert and heals the Dead Sea. The river waters the dry, parched land and heals the death waters. The watering and healing are for the purpose of producing life. The saints, eventually, the flow out of us, would what? Would cause the dry and parched land to be wet, to be water. Out of us. Out of our shepherding, out of our speaking, out of our ministering. And also there would be a healing of death. We are not here to do psychological counseling type of work. There's a place for those things. But in the church life, we're for the healing, the divine healing. The problem is death. The problem is dryness. The problem is the lack of life. And so all of us must have a way to let this river flow to do this work. Now, finally, the river is unable to heal marshes. There's some place that even this river cannot heal, a marsh. A marsh is a neutral place, a halfway place, a place of compromise. That means it's not wet, it's not dry, it's somewhere in between. Dear brothers and sisters, don't put yourself in a halfway place. Be absolute. When you come into the church life, the Lord's recovery, come to the center of it.
Amen.
I like to say, get on the diamond lane. Do you have diamond lanes here? Or is it just a California thing? Huh? I love the HOV lane. Because once you get into it, it's hard to get out. In fact, you cannot get out. If you're on the right lane, before you know it, you got you didn't watch the sign, you're just driving on the right lane. Whoops, I got out. Don't stay on the right lane in the church life. Let the flow be on the right side, but don't you be in the right lane. I would say merge left. As soon as you can, merge left, all the way to the HOV lane where you cannot get out, even if you want to. The law forbids you from getting out. Too many cars rushing along, you cannot get out. That's the place to be. Don't be here in a halfway play, in a halfway way. Don't be the lukewarm Christians. Not hot, not cold. The Lord say, I will spit you out. This is the marshy place. Even this river cannot heal. For the flow of life and for the church life, we need to be absolute. Three, please read together. If you are in the Lord's recovery. I do like to see here in the Mid-Atlantic states the saints more and more absolute for his recovery, for his church life on the earth, for the Lord himself. And that there would be a very evident and powerful flow that will emerge. So powerful that it will sweep through everything. That in these states, in these cities, this flow will go. And wherever the flow goes, things will live. There will be more buildings coming out of it, more church life coming into being. And out of those church life, the flow will flow yet again to other places. Amen, saints?
Amen.
This is the vision in chapter 47 of Ezekiel. I will stop here. There's 15 minutes. I know it's a little bit late, but please come up here and release your flow.